I don't know what to click. I clicked the wrong thing. We're live. Happy Barncast, everyone. Normally, Kyle clicks the button to start it. He's not here. I don't know what he's doing. He made up some excuse, whatever. Filling in, Zach Blackerby, Daryl Daprich, from your deck, correct?
Yes, I'm from this outdoor screened-in porch. It's such a beautiful night, I thought I would take it outside. So if there's any nature sounds in the background, there's not a light show, but there could be coyotes.
Well, you were yelling at somebody in your front yard like a second ago.
My son had a DoorDash and some motorcycle was in my driveway. And I was like, the light show's back, but it was just a DoorDash delivery.
That's hilarious. Okay. Gotcha. Cool. Sweet. What a weekend. So let's start with, I guess, the recruiting win. Do we want to do that?
Yes, let's do that.
I'm a fan. Anytime you can add a 6'2 wide receiver that can absolutely turn on the Jets, I'm all for it. Brylon Odor.
Yeah. We said on one of the shows that we did during the week that Auburn would get a few more in May. And here's the first one. You know, it was a May commit. So it's starting to roll. What have they done in the last 8 days? Picked up four commits in 8 days. I mean, they're absolutely on fire right now.
Yeah. I'm glad because, you know, we've been talking about like, all right, not panicking yet, but this needs to happen. And then kind of the stuff that we said needs to happen is happening. So that is comforting for sure.
It is. Momentum's a real thing in recruiting. I mean, it's not so much, I think, on the field or on the court if you're winning, but momentum in recruiting, I think kids look at other kids when they start to jump on board and say, yeah, they want to be a part of that, so I'd like to be a part of that too. And they're starting to roll a little bit, and it's nice, and it's absolutely what they need. And then I think they're going to start picking up more momentum, more steam, and some of the big dogs may walk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the big one's Carlos May, but as far as what we've seen from Brylon Odor, just looking at his highlight tape, which is really all I have available to me. So we'll roll with that. But, you know, the early part of the tape is, which is usually the best part. They usually do it by most exciting to least interesting, is a lot of like intermediate to short stuff, a lot of hooks and curls and comebacks, which is what there's a lot of that in this offense. And him then just outrunning a lot of people or running through contact and making it look like, you know, you're silly for even trying to tackle me, which once again, that's a lot of what this offense is. Sure, they want to, you know, they want to stretch the field, sure. And I think he has the traits that translate in order for him to do that. But also, can you, if guys are playing off of you, can you come back to the football? I mean, we saw Keyshawn Singleton do it like three plays in a row at A-Day once he came in the second quarter there. I mean, that's pretty tough to stop if you're worried about the receivers running past you. So I definitely see what they're looking at here.
The footage I saw, did you watch the one that was recorded with a drone?
Some of it was.
Yeah.
Some of the plays were.
The one that I saw was the guy had an absolute angle on him. I mean, a big-time angle, and he still couldn't catch him. And that was eye-opening. That popped to me, is that he was like another gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about, like, behind him. I'm talking about, like, should have tackled him. So, yeah, it's I think he could be a freak. And there's a definite prototype that I think Golish looks at when it comes to receiver. And you talk about coming back to the football is a big thing. And you know, Auburn, I think in years past, Zach fell in love with that little short hook comeback route thing, hoping someone would break a tackle and get yards after catch. And for some reason, it just wasn't effective. I don't know if it was personnel, if it was scheme, if it was that the defense knew exactly what they were doing. So they would run, they would put two guys on the receiver to wrap up and tackle. But I think that he's got some dudes that can do things with the football after they catch it. And that's exciting.
Well, and you know, that kind of route only works if there's a threat of them continuing to run. And there was no threat of them continuing to run, you know, the nine route, the go route, the fly route, whatever you want to call it. There's no threat of that because there was no desire to stretch the field last year. There will be, I mean, we saw the desire to stretch it early with A-Day. Like, probably should have had Chaz Nimron on what would have been a touchdown early at A-Day. That would have been electric. And honestly, if that throws, you know, 6 inches a little bit shorter, the narrative around Byron is probably way different, which if
there's
it's
waves
that, if it's that little of a thing, then it's probably not worth having a narrative about in general.
One thing I saw they did was to certain levels, that wave, that first wave, there was receivers running a route, and then there was a second wave. And there's always that desire or that, you know, that temptation to just throw it to that first wave. But when you get to the 20-yard level and guys are getting open, and Spencer did a good job of that, and checking down and throwing to that second level was really effective.
Sure. Yeah, no question. No question. So exciting. So now you got 5 guys in this class. I think you're 17th on Rivals, 41st on 247, if I remember correctly, at least in that ballpark. And I'm sure other guys have committed since then this afternoon. But Big Cat is the 16th. So I'm interested because, you know, Odor has an official visit, according to 247, scheduled for the day prior with Indiana. Curious if he still takes that, or if they try to get all their committed guys on campus for Big Cat, the staff's first Big Cat weekend. Not what it used to be for several reasons. Obviously, it used to be in July. Recruiting rules changing, the calendar changing. Can't have it in July anymore. So, I'm curious to see. I mean, whether it's relevant or not, we do kind of judge people on their first Big Cat weekend. Whether that's relevant or not, I don't know. But I'm curious to see if they pull out all the stops.
It's a good point. It's such a different dynamic than it used to be, though,
right?
And especially with the portal and all that. So I can remember we judged people with their Big Cat appropriately when it failed miserably, when 6 people showed up. Yeah, it deserved to be scrutinized. Right. And then we had the flip side of that where, like, everybody came and you wouldn't get anybody to commit. So, it's just a different animal now.
Tell you what, some of those early Hugh Freeze ones, though, was electric. Like,
yeah,
the pair pops and flip and all that. Like, that was,
yeah,
that was crazy. Throwing them in the pool. Sadly, they didn't win games. So, cool. Do you want to continue talking about Golish? Do we want to go to baseball? Dap, where do you want to go?
Okay. I think we need to go to baseball. I think this was a very, very monumental weekend. And I know people are yearning and craving for some baseball talk. We'd already planned to do that anyway. But this was not only a very important series, Auburn exceeded expectations. They exceeded what they needed to do and did it emphatically. And it was a statement weekend. It wasn't like, hey, we're here just to play with the big boys. It was Auburn is a big boy and is a favorite, in my opinion, for the College World Series after this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably a national host at this point, unless you don't just totally collapse. At this point, like, I don't think you can count Auburn out against Mississippi State. I don't think you can count them out against Georgia. I'm not counting them out against anybody. And, you know, playing UAB Tuesday, that's going to help you in RPI to some extent, more than most other non-cons.
They got a good baseball team. That's a sneaky good baseball team.
They do. I think they're
and
like
that's
top
a trap
50
game.
RPI.
Yeah. Butch specifically mentioned them to me at Samford about UAB, and he said they got a good team. I think that sometimes we get a little – I am a little bit guilty of, like, lowering expectations. I was like, hey, get one. Just get one in College Station, you know. And then Auburn not only wins this series – that first game was as bad as you could beat a nationally ranked team. It was embarrassing. They took A&M's Yell Leaders manhood. Oh, that's
right.
That's easy to do. That's not hard to do to begin with. But, I mean, it was an absolute shellacking. And then they won a one-run game and lost a one-run game. So, but the doubleheader, you know how hard it is? You know this as much as you – to have a doubleheader sweep in the same day. A doubleheader sweep in the same day, especially after you shellack somebody.
You wax them.
Yes.
It's not even close.
It's hard to stay on them.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hard. And so to do that was very, very historic.
Mm-hmm.
And do it on the road, which, you know, is not an easy place to win there. It's just not in College Station. Now, so they come out of that. Now you got to be going, okay, we don't need to settle. Let's go to Starkville and get 2 or 3. Let's see if we can get 2 or 3 in Starkville and then come on. I mean, you start doing that, you start stacking series wins in this stretch.
Yeah.
And you're a top 3, top 4 baseball team.
So looking at D1 baseball's RPI, Auburn is 4 on the NCAA RPI. They're 5th. I don't think they've updated through this weekend yet because A&M's ahead of us at one spot up. So when you look at it, UCLA at 1, Georgia Tech at 2. You split with them. Texas at 3. They beat us 2 out of 3. Auburn's at 4. According to this, Bama's at 5, which is really like the one like glaringly awful weekend of the season has been that. And then you slide down, Florida State's 7th. We beat them. A&M's 8th. We beat them. Mississippi State's 9th. That's where we're about to go. That's a big deal. But then like Florida 12, Ole Miss 13, Georgia 16, of course, which is where Auburn will wrap up the season. Nebraska 18. We beat them. Oklahoma 21. We beat them. It's like beat, this is
beat
this
Florida is, too. I mean, right? Beat Florida. Yeah. And the Georgia
UAB is 46. That's what I was looking for.
I'm thinking that I was at the Georgia Tech game at Plainsman Park and they spanked Georgia Tech. I mean, drilled them. And I can't remember if Georgia Tech returned the favor at Atlanta. It seems like they did. It seems like it was ugly.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got some supers coming in. Hunter saying, Zach, if you told me we would have had a chance to sweep A&M, I wouldn't believe you. I mean, honestly, going into today, I thought we were going to. I mean, the pitching situation, to go through a doubleheader with 3 pitchers. I mean, we didn't really have any of our bullpen guys. The whole bullpen was available. Just the offense didn't really come until late. But still, yeah, I think we all would have taken it. Can't be upset with that, dropping that 3rd one. Barn Booster, the Rev, win 2 of 3 on the road at A&M. Not too shabby, 100%.
Yeah, and it is. You're right there for the taking to get that sweep.
Did I say we lost to Florida? You said something, and then
no, you were talking about teams we played and just and have played and just did not specify like the others.
We did before. Yeah, that's why I mentioned them. Yeah.
Cool. So that's kind of when this team started to feel itself a little bit again, get back on the right track, because you know after the Alabama sweep and losing 2 or 3 to Texas, they were starting to, I think, struggle a little bit confidence-wise.
Right. And those are back-to-back weekends, right, where we lost to Texas and then got swept by Bama, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so then I was like, oh, no, what's happening? And then since then, they haven't lost a series.
I think they beat Kentucky, right, 2 or 3. They bounced back and won the Kentucky series and then won the Florida series and just started to find itself again.
Yep. Putting together one of the most impressive resumes in college baseball. And they'll have a top 2 strength of schedule when it's all said and done, which is great, which is kind of unique to A&M, Mississippi State, and Georgia. I mean, all 3 of those teams, top 10 caliber teams to finish a season on, and all have impressive records in conference. But Auburn did bite off a little bit more than those teams did when it came to non-conference. Which at this point of the season, if you're impressive in SEC play, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, okay, props to you. But when you're kind of rolling out your resume in front of a committee, and it's like, hey, we won just as many conference games as those teams did, and we did more in the non-con. I think that's going to matter, Daryl. I mean, I think this is a national hosting team when it's all said and done.
The Arlington tournament was huge for their
Yep.
Beating Nebraska, that series was huge. Splitting with Georgia Tech was huge. All those things echo exactly what you're saying. The non-con part of that, Auburn was willing to play some bigger teams. And the conference schedule in itself, you're right. That's why at the end of the day, I can't see, unless they completely collapse, I can't see any scenario where there wouldn't be a top 8.
Yeah, I mean, unless they collapse, which, I mean, it's in the unique spot where, like, a loss to UAB actually doesn't really hurt you that much this year, which is a little unique.
No, and I said this before. I think me and you talked about it. I want to see
I don't think they'll lose against UAB, but I'm just saying if.
Right. I think Auburn's in a situation, too, to do some damage in Hoover for the first time in a long time. Go up there and see if you get to win an SEC title. So let's go, right? Instead of going one or two and bowing out. I mean, I remember that game against LSU where that play at the plate, it was awful the first round, and Auburn won that game, and that team ended up going on to the College World Series. Mm-hmm. Let's do both. Let's see if they can do some damage at Hoover, get to the last day, build upon that, and start hosting.
All right, if you guys have any questions, let us know. Daryl and I both have early mornings tomorrow with various things, so probably won't stay on as long as we typically do, but we want to make sure everybody's questions are addressed, especially if for the super chatters, which we got to those. I think we're caught up. Yes. Great. Great. You know, I love the national pub that Golish has gotten about how he responded to some of those questions last week for the region's golf thing. Seriously, the more this guy talks, the more I like him. Like, there has not been anything that's popped up yet where I've just been like, okay, I like him less because of what he said.
He never misses. I mean, he's so media savvy with how he answers questions, and some of it's with a little bit of a chip and is throwing a little bit of shade. And Stephen Pearl has gotten on that train. You know, they took shots at him at that Birmingham tournament, and then he told the guys at Next Round, you're the third best radio station in Birmingham.
He doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe that. He would have gone on the show.
Exactly. But again,
I'm disappointed in how Stephen handled that, if I'm being honest with you.
Really? Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good, that's a good topic to, I'm tired of people walking all over Auburn and taking shots at him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think Golish is too. Our guys got to quit doing Auburn, or our Auburn coaches have to quit doing Alabama shows. That's the weirdest thing. It's gone on too long. That's just got to stop. That's
part of the problem. But the other problem is when you go to a golf tournament in Birmingham, 90% of the media, written media, are Bammers. One sitting right behind us in the press box at A-Day. And so they're going to ask questions that are trying to be gotcha trap questions. And that's why Golish handled that so well. And he like turned the question back around to him. That's what more of Auburn. I mean, you're not going to get away from that. AL.com. Yeah,
I'm fine if it's in a scrum or, you know, a press setting. That's fine. Going on a show that's like featured about Bama stuff. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You know, Bruce used to do it too. Bruce used to go on.
I mean, every Auburn coach does it. It's the weirdest thing. We're the only school that does that. It's very strange. Very strange. The Rev, AG is keeping his word, doesn't play golf. He told the media at Regions FE without saying it. Love it, especially about the Iron Bowl question, WDE. Yep. That FE mindset, for sure. Got to back it up on the field, but everything he's done off the field so far, I absolutely love it.
Well, you can't win anything in April and May, but you sure can lose it. If you don't have the right mindset, it doesn't you're screwed before you even take the field. So, Auburn has been getting shots taken at it consistently for a long time now, and it's time they start pushing back a little bit.
Getting a lot of questions about softball. I haven't followed. I saw we lost again.
Well, I can answer that. I mean, people were saying that the LSU series was a disaster, and I have been very pro Malvo.
They sweep us.
Not only did they do that, one of the games was 25-0. I mean,
lost 25-0.
Yes, yeah, and it's disheartening because I'm believers.
25-0. That's great.
Yeah, I have.
This is really their second year, right?
Yes, and I've been supportive of them. I like the recruiting class they got. I like the but that can't happen. That absolutely can't happen. So,
Is LSU good?
Yeah, but they're not.
They're not like top two or three.
Right. That shouldn't happen. It's just, I believe.
They have twice as many head coaches as them.
That's right. Absolutely.
We should be twice as good.
Yeah. It was very disheartening. And again, I'm frustrated because I felt like they got the right staff. They got the right coaches. They're doing a good job recruiting. They got some good people in the portal. That should not happen. period.
The Rev is saying 11 out of 27 losses are by 5 runs or more in softball.
So I have an affinity towards softball because I had girls and I coached softball and I love softball. And it's always been a big part of my life since, you know, my girls were little and I love it. And when Auburn was good and getting to the World Series, it took off and it was
so
just
fun.
So fun. Yeah. And they had such good players. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm invested in it because I want to see. Look, if I went to an Auburn women's soccer game, I would be wanting them to spank somebody. It's just how I am. So I'm
yeah, wired. Sure.
But I had a special
game, by the way.
And I can remember taking my travel ball team and going to the Auburn games and meeting the players and signing post. And so I want to see it succeed. And I just felt like this was the right staff to do it. You can't lose 25-0.
That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
So that's my softball statement.
Yeah, no, I think most people are agreeing with you. I think most, I mean, everybody here wants the best for all Auburn sports, but I don't know. Like it's second year, like it's probably too early to. I mean, you got to give them 3, I would think. In most cases, I'm not going to act like I'm super familiar with the situation, but. They seem to be well liked, so that usually gives you another year if it's on.
Well, they usually play an exciting brand of softball. So, you know, Mickey Dean's teams, it was just like it was small ball on steroids. It was boring to watch, and he didn't recruit hitters, and people were trying to jump ship. This team was hitting home runs and beating people, putting runs on the board. That's why there was some hope there. It was a fun day at the yard watching them, but they have no pitching. And again, I don't care if it's year 2, you can't get beat 25-0.
Thomas Jones with the super chat. Of all of the Auburn players from this year's NFL draft officially signed with their teams yet? I would assume no. I would assume that would be really quick for all of them to do that. I just Googled Keldrick.
He hadn't signed yet. He's first rounder, right?
Keldrick did sign.
He did.
His contract details are up. I'm assuming that means he signed it.
Wow, that was quick.
Then that none of the headlines are that he signed it. It's just contract details revealed.
That went under the radar.
Yeah. I'm looking up Kieron's real quick. Doesn't look like Kieron has signed either. So, yeah, and I don't think that's unusual. I think that'd be pretty quick.
It's so soon. Yeah, it's so soon.
But I do think the undrafted guys, like I think you have to sign when you're undrafted. Yeah. So a few of those guys I'm sure have deals.
I think speaking of the NFL draft and unrestricted free agents, I saw the best meme or tweet that I think I've seen in years where somebody said – that's so rude of the Ravens to invite Pavia to mini camp. Why couldn't he just come to regular camp?
That's funny.
Do we know the play on words? And I love anytime you throw shade at Pavia, I like it. So that's why.
Yeah, I saw a picture of like Diego, like the Ravens quarterback room, and he's like standing next to Lamar, and he's like half his height, which is funny.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was like the angle that like of him taking snaps at minicamp, but like he looks so tiny. It's great. Like I don't think
he's gonna have a hard time going over. He's gonna have a hard time throwing over the top of NFL defensive linemen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie did it, but Doug Flutie was a different player.
Yeah, there are special guys that can be shorter that do it for sure. You know, I mean it's not like Drew Brees is short, but he's short from an NFL quarterback standpoint.
Right.
But
Flutie was short. But Flutie,
he
had the ability to get out of the pocket and do some stuff. And he played for your Patriots for a little while.
He did. He did. Patriots legend. The Rev, speaking of Pavia, this time next year, Pavia will be in the UFL or the CFL. He got a 3-year deal. So,
which is really interesting to me. That was a shocker.
Yeah. So I don't, I don't think it's a crazy opinion. I wonder how I haven't looked into his details, but I know he's got a 3-year deal. Does it hurt the Ravens from a cap standpoint off they move on from him? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We cover a team whose deals are not public because it's college. So We just all guess. We just guess what guys make. Cool. All right. We're going to wrap up a little early, guys. Sorry about that. We got to go. We got early morning. So, Daryl, how can people check out everything you've got going on?
Wednesdays and Fridays, Locked On Auburn. And then we'll be back next Sunday for a little Barncast. Maybe Kyle will be back with us.
Yes. Please subscribe to The Barn and check us out at thebarnauburn.com. I don't know. I'm going to try this one. And if it's not, I'm just going to play the Village Vice outro.